Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
I actually feel surprisingly good. I don't know. I woke up on the right side of the bed today.
I love to see you smile.
Thank you.
I mean, it's weird, though, at the same time, because your smiles are, they range. Your smile goes from mischievous to I just didn't flush to look at how many beers I have in a pyramid to that one time we were just recently at your house in the backyard and you got a liquor order. And for some reason, something glitch happened. I'm going to say glitch, quote unquote glitch. And then you got 8 bottles of champagne.
Yeah.
Are you drinking it?
I've been drinking it. Yeah, I found out you can't freeze it because it does freeze and it will explode. Yeah,
explodes. I saw you. Yeah. Oh, so you never took those out of the freezer? I saw you going, I got to pop a couple of these in the freezer, make sure they're cold. But I've done that a couple of times, but mostly it's with food.
Yeah. Food doesn't explode, though.
No, I mean, food is just one of the, you know, it's not that I suffer from, I don't know whether this is the Italian or the Polish part. I suffer from a distinct panic about not having enough food.
Oh, I do too. I think it's something with our childhoods that's deeply ingrained in us. We didn't grow up poor, we didn't have food, but there was something about having siblings and you knew if you didn't get to the snacks right in time, you're gone. They're gone.
You had Big Hoss Boys that were your snack competition. I had Jackie, but Jackie was way more psychological and we had our time. It was more so at late at night. Right before we go to sleep, we'd spend hours and hours and hours awake at night watching Food Network. And Jackie and I used to make all sorts of different concoctions with ice cream and stuff. And I think that's really where the weight came from.
I think that was probably a good place to start that conversation. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben with the always ice cream loving Henry Zabrowski.
Yes, I am. I have all of my favorites right now. Honestly, I have all of my favorites. I got my. I don't mean to roll out all of my Brandon content
here. This is kind of a true crime-ish show, but you want to start with ice cream talk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, I like a nice vanilla bean. I'm one of those. I like just a normal vanilla.
It's too
vanilla.
Fancy. Don't even bother with me. I don't
you
need
don't
an aristocrat
like a,
ice cream. Just
this
give
is
me
not
vanilla.
Aristocrat.
I don't like vanilla bean.
You just don't like
it's
being
too fancy.
Sold. You don't like the dance of these masters.
No.
Haagen-Dazs. A fake Danish name. Is that even a real name?
It's not a real name.
No, it's not. They just made it up because they knew that fucking dopes would be like, well, the Europeans of a certain white variety really enjoy whisk into ice cream.
Well, speaking of glitches, Mr. Zabrowski, I have a small confession to make when it comes to my Madden play.
There's a lot of people. I want to say what I love
are mad at me.
Is how much stuff that comes with what's going on in this country.
Sure.
Just how many different layers of things there are to be upset about and to challenge. And the emails that we got about the Madden football controversy, whatever it is that you're in the middle of, the quagmire you have brought us into, dragged us into.
Right, right.
A lot of people are questioning your logic.
Well, did not quite realize that after the ball goes 10 yards, it is a live ball, so you can't just fair catch it. You need to actually catch it. Now, of course, you don't have to if it's in the end zone, so I will admit that I was wrong. I made a mistake. I did lose that game by a field goal, 25-22. I am now officially 150 and 150 in my record. I am 500. I'm broke even. I'm in the top 26% of all Madden players.
That's
humble
too many
break.
Games for a single season, though. That's a lot of games. You need to give these boys a rest.
It's a lot of games. They're fake, so they don't get tired. Mm. But I do realize that I made a mistake, and this is a good life lesson. Instead of fair catching and running away, you need to catch the ball and follow through.
Oh,
and isn't
think,
that very good? Isn't that the lesson we took away from it?
And I think that that is actually a lesson for all of us for all of our lives.
So catch the ball and follow through. Nature's path. Well, speaking of following through, I think probably the biggest story in true crime news this week involves Jam Master Jay. Of course, he was murdered 18 years ago in 2002, and officers have finally arrested the two people that killed him. Apparently,
did they string this shit together? This is really crazy. This is 20 years in the making. I know that it sounded like it was a drug deal or some kind of, it was a nefarious situation.
Well, they said it was a cocaine deal.
Damn.
Apparently, Jam Master Jay was still dabbling in the dark arts of drug dealing.
People like it.
And he was, he was shot. He was shot in Jamaica, Queens, point blank, cold-blooded, as they were saying.
Damn.
And they arrested these two dudes. One guy is Carl Jordan Jr. He's only 36 years old, which means this is what's so scary about just life in general. This 18-year-old kid. Just with a gun, just ended the existence of one of the greatest influencers in music history.
It's really very sad. It shows just how much can change immediately. And it just, man, it's a bummer.
It's, you know what?
It's a fucking bummer.
It is a fucking bummer. But hopefully the family and fans of Jam Master Jay can get a little bit of closure. So Carl Jordan Jr. and Ronald Washington, they conspired to kill Jam Master Jay. Apparently it was some retaliation over a drug deal gone wrong. This is according to Seth Ducharme. He is the acting United States attorney for the Eastern District of New York. He says, it was important to us then and remains extremely important to us now to bring justice for the victim, his family, friends, and the community that cared so much about these events. I have not been able to find, like, how it took 18 years to find these people or why they were able to find them now. But nonetheless, this is one of those stories that has been in hip hop for a long ass time.
In the years before Mr. Mizell's death, he increasingly embraced the role of a local talent scout, listening to demo tapes of 14 and 15 year old rappers and making some suggestions, which is awesome. This comes from the New York Times.
Very sweet. Do you have any idea how hard that is to do?
It's incredibly difficult. And then I forgot that he started the Scratch DJ Academy, where we had shows there for multiple years. And to show with KB, which was
KBBK
hilarious.
Comedy Deathmatch. And Kevin kept on trying to get me to say the N-word, and I did not.
Congrats.
And we used to do a segment called, that was funny, the way that different people can say different words.
Thank you, Kissel. Thank you so much.
Oh, that was an amazing experience, though, at Scratch DJ Academy. We had Reggie Watts perform there. Reggie Watts was the sweetest man.
Watts is the first person to introduce me to Liquid THC that night, and I remember just being
nice.
Thank you, Reggie. Thank you so much for changing our lives.
Thank
And then Murderfist got addicted to tincture, and I think it set us back a couple of years. But it looks like this. So I guess they were vaguely involved through the hip hop scene.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they were trying to cut that. He was trying to cut them out of some deal. We see a lot is some smaller guys, especially younger guys, feeling like they need to do something to show how hard they are or how serious they are about this business.
Oh my!
They end up doing these rash bullshit things. And destroying everybody's lives.
I cannot imagine, and I don't know, so correct me if I'm wrong, sidestories.lpotl@gmail.com. I cannot imagine this was something they could brag about on the streets. They killed Jam Master Jay.
He was an icon.
So it's not like when Tekashi 6ix9ine gets killed, which is going to happen.
Soon.
It's not going to be like that, because that person can literally like wear a t-shirt like, I killed Tekashi 6ix9ine, and they'll be like, I think you're smart.
No, it's going to be like the scene from Spartacus, where everyone's going to be like, I'm the one who killed Tekashi 6ix9ine. No, I'm the one who killed Tekashi 6ix9ine.
We can't arrest them all. Well, then we better let them all go. So apparently it was something involving a kilogram of cocaine. And I don't know enough about measurements to know how much is a kilo of cocaine.
I know in
Europe.
Is that
a lot or is that like not that much?
You know, man. You know how I am with kilos. You know how I'm always shifting in weight.
I know.
I want to say it's like I imagine the size of Wendy if she was more of a square.
So like, it's dog.
It's the dog size. That's how I transmute it in my mind.
Okay, so it's a Wendy size, so about a 7 pound dog size of cocaine.
What size is a kilo of cocaine? This is not gonna, don't worry, put this on an incognito. So don't worry. It's 2.2 pounds of cocaine.
Well, then it would be 22 pounds of cocaine that he was acquiring in July of 2002. He acquired 10 kilograms of cocaine, which was intended to be distributed by Washington, Jordan, and others. But a dispute between Washington and a co-conspirator led Jam Master Jay to tell Washington he would be cut out of the transaction. And that's apparently what did him in inevitably. He is dealing 22 pounds of coke. It's like a lot of coke.
It's a lot of cocaine. I think that
and
they
this is
are
before fentanyl, by the way, so it was safer.
It was fun.
Please be careful doing any kind of snortable.
Don't do it, especially west of the Mississippi. I mean this. Don't do cocaine west of the Mississippi. They're cutting it with fentanyl. That's the truth. Is that it is not
it's just
bad.
A weird measure. It's just a strange west of the Mississippi.
West of the Mississippi.
I haven't heard anyone describe like locations in west of the Mississippi or north of the Mississippi or south of the Mississippi terms in a long time.
I'm reading Secrets of Twin Peaks by Mark Frost, and there's a whole section by Lewis and Clark. So I think it's all of that. I'm in Lewis and Clark world.
Oh my goodness. So Jordan, again, now he is only 36 years old. So this dude is still like a young man.
Also 36 is real young.
It's young. Yeah, right?
Yeah, like, it's young. It's with it.
39 and holding, baby. Oh my God. Speaking of young, you're going to see just how young I am. Spotify asked us to make a music playlist.
Oh, yes. Speaking he asked of music, all of us.
And we were speaking with our manager, Ken, and Ken said, Ben, I had no idea you and I have the same taste in music.
Great.
Ken is 55 years old.
Yep, and he resides in Newport, Rhode Island during the summer times, and he goes on his little pontoon boat. You guys have the same red-faced, flushed things that you both enjoy. You both would love whatever... the truth is, and I'm not even mean this as an insult, you, Ken, and Joe Biden would go all love the same concerts.
Yes.
You guys would all
would.
In the back of Biden's fucking Firebird. Honestly.
That is cool.
It's pretty sweet.
Yes, that is cool. So Jordan, again, he is 36 years old. He also faces one count of conspiracy and 7 counts of distribution of cocaine for an alleged incident in 2017. He was arrested on this past Sunday. He has pleaded not guilty. Washington, he is 56. He is in federal custody and will be arraigned later this week. He was convicted in 2007 of conspiracy stemming from a string of gunpoint robberies in New York. So
Jesus.
I'm not going to say these guys were like on the right path.
I mean, who knows? I'm certain a lot more shit's going to come out once they go into trial, and they are still just accused, so we will find out once justice prevails.
Yes, he was actually interestingly enough, sentenced to 210 months in prison and is scheduled to be released in April 2021. So Washington is actually already in jail.
Man, I wonder what the hell. I wonder how they got him to admit it, because they must have just, because, you know, all they do is search for a confession as much as humanly possible. So at least we'll see. Obviously, we don't know anything. So
we
this
don't
more
know.
Information will come out.
Absolutely.
And we will follow it as it comes out, as long as it's Mayday.
Yes. Well, RIP Jam Master Jay. And hopefully there is a little bit of closure. And it's just unfortunate. Be careful. Be careful who you're dealing with. And I love helping young artists, but maybe don't meet them at your home.
I mean,
because meet them in public, listen to their hip hop tape or their podcast. If you want to send it, if you're 14, you want to send us a podcast.
We listen to 14-year-olds podcast, but that's it.
Do you?
No.
Do you listen to a 14-year-olds podcast?
No, I don't want to. Not really. But I'll give you notes. I'll tell you. Keep at it, child. Keep going, child.
That's very good.
I honestly think on some level, this is one of those stories where I would say you should legalize most drugs. I think most drugs should probably be legalized. But
absolutely.
I don't know if we're mature enough to handle it.
Well, we're definitely not heading down the path of legalization anytime soon.
Nope. I don't know when it's going to happen. Here's the story of a man that probably, honestly... You know when you say when you're in the middle of vacation, you need like a vacation from your vacation?
I say that every day.
You know what I mean? Like you're trying to take a vacation. You're like, I am just all of the planning and all of the hiking and all of the tourism. I need a vacation from my vacation.
My vacation, yeah.
But sometimes that vacation from your vacation could end up leaving you dead in a pipe.
Wait, what?
Man 32 dies after getting trapped inside pipe at Arizona Aquatic Center. Now, this is...
Wait, is he Augustus Gloop? What the hell happened?
How I don't know if he was chasing chocolate. He might have been.
How did Let's he get stuck out. In a pipe?
This comes from NBCNews.com by Janelle Griffith. A 32-year-old man died early Monday after he broke into an aquatic center in Arizona.
Oh, my God.
And became trapped in a support structure for a water slide.
Okay.
Now, a police officer patrolling area near the El Dorado Aquatic and Fitness Center in Scottsdale learned that what he believed to be faint calls for help.
Wait a second.
He heard,
Yep.
And about 15 minutes later, it was determined that the calls were coming from inside the aquatic center.
Okay. Hold on a second. But you did preface this entire conversation with dies inside of a pipe. So what, this cop just didn't save this guy? Didn't grab him from the... What do you do? I don't know how you get somebody out of a pipe. You blow really hard. I have no idea, but couldn't this cop have saved this guy?
Maybe from all the quarantine pressure, he's starting to think he's hearing voices.
Maybe.
The pipe where the man was found is in an expansive outdoor area. They had to find out where, because they heard, It took hours, approximately an hour, to pinpoint where the calls are coming from inside the lock place. So it was very difficult because it was this huge, it was like a massive outdoor area. And he said it sounded like a megaphone. So it was, the voice was just like bouncing all over. This is technically a horrible story. He was trapped inside this pipe.
This going, is horrible.
And it was just because of the echoes, and none of them are dolphins. So they couldn't figure out how to find him within the pipes. He said that the man had entered the facility by climbing over a high fence and then crawling inside a large cylindrical steel center support for the water slide, where he became stuck. And that, according to the police officers, it wasn't an easy feat. It took some work to get down in there, which obviously would not be the first place that people would be looking trying to find someone because of the difficulty to get there.
So he got stuck. Is this a water slide pipe? Was this this man is dead, so I don't want to mock him, but was he a little heavy set or something? How did he get stuck in a water slide pipe?
It sounds like it was a support beam that he must have. I'm going to go on a limb here and say he might have been under the influence.
And of having a good time.
I mean, I think that he was having a good time until he got inside of the pipe.
Right.
And then when he walked in, he snuck his way in, and it seems like in his his influenced attitude.
We don't know if he was hammered, though. He could have been sober. I mean, he died inside of a pipe. 99% chance drunk.
At least.
Yeah.
And he might have even thought that that was the water slide. Because it sounded like it was just a structure piece for the water slide that he thought would be fun. He saw a big pipe. He's like, oh, fun. I get to go and slip up and down this pipe. Yeah. I'm going to have fun in here. How wet it's going to be, even though it's closed.
No, it would just be him.
No water is flowing.
Yeah, it would just be him squeaking down this pipe as his skin tears from his body. Just be like, this is fun.
When's the last time you used a slide?
Holy hell. Well, I'm longer than most slides now, so I can't even really enjoy them, which is sad.
I'm going to say this. I don't know if it's just because we're getting older, because to be honest, I'm skinnier than I used to be, right? So I was going to go on a slide. Forget where I was. It was with Natalie.
Well,
there
you
was
do
a slide.
This kind of adventure stuff, though. You and Marcus go on roller coasters and whatnot.
Well, yeah, that's not adventures.
That is more adventurous than I would do. I'm too big for that stuff.
No, a roller coaster is technically the least adventurous thing you can do. You sit in a chair that has a fucking bar that keeps you inside of the chair.
Yeah, but if it breaks, you die.
Yeah, but then no one wants to spend that much money by killing a person at the amusement park. You know what I mean? They'll do anything possible to not kill somebody because it will affect their bottom line.
That's true.
So I know that their importance of money will keep me safe.
Yeah, until accidents do happen, but okay.
But you're more in danger of the owner of the amusement park coming in and shooting a bunch of people than dying on one of the rides.
Okay.
And so in my mind, I try to go, I was like, oh, there was this slide. I remember it was this big slide.
Where?
I don't even remember.
Are you just hanging around playgrounds?
No. It was Natalie likes to go to adult playgrounds. Wink, 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 wink. But she likes to go to the ones where it's kind of like, there was like that place in Baltimore we went to that had like the big science museums.
Oh, yes. Sure.
And I made halfway down a slide. I went, eek! And it's something about the way our bodies are shaped. We're not as buoyant anymore.
No.
But I just, my whole backside was just fucking burnt on a, like I was on a skillet. And I was like, and all the kids were like, man stuck. See, the man is stuck. And I went and I had to scooch my way down the slide. And I was like, I am not that big for me to stick on here.
Oh, but you know, if you don't get publicly shamed by children at least once a year,
Am I living?
You are not living. You have to, you have children. There's something about being laughed at by children that just cuts so deep that you need to experience it once again to open those wounds,
explore
those wounds, and then go to therapy and try to heal those wounds all over again. We're just a series of scars.
I'm covered in scar tissue, but you know what I like about it?
What's that?
I'm like a turtle. It makes me like a turtle. But there's
right?
this is not the only story of a man getting stuck. There's another one of a man lived in Tampa Bay area's stadium's luxury suite for over 2 weeks before he was arrested. This is more, these people breaking in. This is quarantine break-ins.
This is just fun. He was there for 2 weeks. Have a good time with it.
CNN.com. This comes from Amir Vera. A homeless man in Florida allegedly stole up to $1,200 of merchandise and food while living in the luxury suite of a Tampa Bay soccer stadium for over 2 weeks. That's cool as hell.
This is actually great.
That's
this is
cool
just a
hell.
Fun movie. This should be directed by John Hughes. Also, you know, just let the guy have a little fun in there. Who,
honestly,
who else is using the suite?
Do you remember us when we had to sit in the box seats and we had to go and be like, can we eat these hot dogs?
Yeah.
Are these beers for us? Can we have some beers?
Yep.
And all the guys there, all the head fund manager dudes are all being like, yeah.
Yeah, we were... It's really bizarre, and I don't know if I'll ever get used to being treated with dignity or respect.
Oh, it's happened so few times.
It's just so rare, especially in this business where they just beat you down. And even when you mildly get successful, you get free hot dogs, but you still don't know if you should be eating them because you also feel guilty.
But the thing is, I showed up hungry, right?
Well, we had to because we knew there was going to be free hot dogs.
I knew that there was going to be some form of free food, and I showed up hungry, but then nobody else is eating. And I hate that feeling when it's there's free food here. They just brought a whole thing of hot dogs, and they brought all the condiments for it. And you were still talking about this story. This has been months. And
it was like game three of the Lakers this year.
This is how this has happened.
This was honestly, it was January 3rd.
Yes.
That's when this happened.
There's so little has happened. You're just talking the same stories again. But I hate walking in a scenario where, like, man, y'all eating.
They don't eat because they've been there before.
They all acted like all blasé and shit. That's a free pyramid of hot dogs.
It's like the first time you sit first class and they're like, would you like some champagne or Bloody Mary? And you're like,
I don't got the money for that. Quit. Get away from me, temptress. Get away from me. And they're like, no, it's free, sir. Y'all trying to trick me. I'm going to wake up in a bag, aren't I? You're going to put me in a barrel and now you're going to throw me out of the plane.
It's just not normal for that to happen.
No, I'm normally getting things smacked out of my hands going, no, sir.
No.
I'm used to that behavior.
Very common.
But this guy, he was just up in there. They walked in, right? So Daniel Albert Nahat, 39, was arrested earlier this week. An employee of Al Lang Stadium found these bunch of blankets in the luxury suite.
Huh.
And they came in and they saw him. He was eating close to $200 worth of food all around him. This is fucking incredible.
And he was living the dream.
He was dressed from head to toe in merch that he had taken from the merch stores. I'm like, this is incredible. Honestly, this dude, you should be flipping this story and being
definitely.
Like, he loves soccer. He should be the spokesman.
He's the mascot now. I completely agree
with
that.
I mean, he's got to test clean after a couple of weeks, but then you start putting him in front of camera.
You know, other than the copious amounts of booze, which I would assume they have in those luxury suites, I don't think he could have been on that many drugs.
The drugs in.
Maybe, but I think this guy might just be a good old-fashioned, elky, homeless person who figured it out.
Man.
And you know, for 14 days, he needs a vacation from his vacation.
Seriously.
You know how much fun he must have had in there?
Man, every day rooting for the teams aren't there, looking at all the pennants,
but so you got,
getting a ball, because you know how much you get to go fucking take a ball. You get to play on a professional level soccer field. Even I have no interest in soccer.
No.
And even I would be overjoyed to like line up the shot and being like, and now for the penalty kick. Polish Sekirster, Henry Zbierski, and then just me going, yes, yes, and then just not even making it, like kicking it, not making it to the fucking stop heckling in me in my fantasies.
Oh, so what is the guy being charged with? Having too much fun?
To be honest,
is it illegal these days to have too much fun?
I do believe that he would actually be served a higher sentence for, like, you know, quote unquote, having too much fun. Neha was arrested on charges of third degree felony burglary and first degree misdemeanor of resisting an officer without violence. So, yeah, because he was probably just been like, let me just finish the Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, let me finish the Philly cheesesteak. Please, God, officer.
And his bond is currently set at $5,150.
Well, this guy doesn't seem like he's the most dangerous human being on the face of the planet. I don't know how he got into this luxury suite, but good for him. I hope he enjoyed those 2 weeks. Must have gotten a little bit lonely at times, looking in the mirror, realizing, you know, the life of a soccer star is not easy. Maybe he thought the soccer teams just stayed there overnight and he wanted to go have some friends.
I want her to meet Pele.
Oh, Pele, I believe, is dead, but that's
that
okay.
The only soccer player I know. I know him and I know Bendit like Beckham.
Is his name Bendit?
No, but I know that the movie with the Indian girl in it is the Bend It Like Beckham, and I think she can bend it like Beckham, but I don't know what bend it means.
I think it's something to do with the ball and
the ball the can torque, curve.
The curving of the ball.
But did David Beckham invent that?
I think he just invented being super handsome.
He is very handsome.
Very handsome. Soccer players are extremely handsome.
It's the hardest
Ronaldo.
Sport. Who's Ronaldo?
He is this guy who looks like he's made of just like perfect. He's like a god body. He's like too handsome. So that to like I've heard girls say, oh, he's too pretty for me.
And that's and huge because you hear that a lot. Women always say that. And they do mean that. They don't. They
don't
make sweet love to them. They would drag their wops so back so fast back and forth over his body. He would look like a slip and slide.
Oh, he kind of does look like a slip and slide. He's very wet all the time.
That's different. That's effort.
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast? Your dog. That was your dog saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You bet your dog. You're going to learn about Bark. To the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud. No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Mmm, tubers! My dogs love their toys selectively. But BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths, but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love them. They love what BarkBox brings. Because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT. My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint,
You can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Well, you know, Henry, obviously we're nemesis. We've been nemesis for a long time.
Our whole lives.
This man in Arkansas, I was debating making this guy Hero of the Week, but what he did is not heroic. It's just very, he wanted to win. And by golly, he did. So an Arkansas farmer, he disguised himself as a woman to sneak into a cemetery. Really no idea why he had to disguise himself as a woman, because men are also allowed in cemeteries.
Throwing off the scent.
So he went into a cemetery and defaced the grave of his longtime nemesis.
Damn.
With animal carcasses.
Oh.
You know how funny. Like, I don't.
Why did he dress up as a fucking lady?
This we don't know. We don't.
Excuse me, grave digger. My name's Leslie. That's the woman version of Leslie.
I can totally tell.
And now don't even nary you mind this bowling bag filled with dead squirrels. That is an inside joke between me and my former lover.
Nemesis?
No way.
Joseph Stroud, he's 78 years old. Which, you know, 78, I am just so happy he still's got the chutzpah.
I don't know,
man. To
pull
something like this off.
After listening to the AARP-sponsored interview of Howard Stern and Metallica, I will say that Metallica, them all being like, we have forgiven everyone, and we had to go, and we had a lot of apologies to do in the early 2000s, and they needed to.
I think they may have needed to. They need to apologize to that basis of theirs, because they were just overtly mean to him for no reason.
He just was never Cliff Burton. He could never replace
Cliff
him.
Burton died. And Metallica needs to realize that this person is not replacing Cliff. He's just, I'm not. Don't, Henry. Don't rock. Don't metalhead cry on me. Do not metal.
No, metalhead cry goes, boo. That's fun. That's really dumb. But they said that I would like to think that by 78, fucking praise be to Allah, that by the time I reach to 78, can I let go of a shred of my bitterness?
Then you die.
Oh.
Joseph Stroud, 78, was charged earlier this month with defacing objects of public respect, which apparently is AKA a grave. I don't know why they call it an object of public respect, but whatever.
I guess they can fall to, like, the big boy statue in front of Bob's Big Boy. You can't go and draw a big cock or a pussy on that. I guess you can't, but at the same time, but then you're outing Big Boy.
Yes, you are. So Fred McKinney, that was the name of Joseph's nemesis. The family of Fred, apparently they didn't think it was very funny.
Why?
They got all mad because they found a bunch of dead animals on the grave multiple times between May and July.
Does it say what kind of animals?
They don't have anything specific about the animals, but we know there were 16 dead animals found. So you got to assume these weren't pumas. You know, these are like little muskrats, little squirrels. McKinney's granddaughter, Shannon Nobles, told the police she started finding the dead animals at the grave in late May. By July, when the family reported the incidents, again, 15 or 16 dead animals were found overall. So this is what she had to say. She says, at first, they thought it was just a coincidence and thought maybe the animals were consuming the fake floral and dying.
Yeah. I feel like, first of all, it should be like a lesson. If you really think you're killing all of the wildlife with the way you represent and help respect your dead ones, you might need to put some biodegradable stuff in there.
I would think so. But then she goes on to say, when they began finding, more dead animals,
and arranged in a what seems to be a middle finger made out of squirrels.
Interesting. They realized it wasn't just a coincidence. Someone was placing the dead animals there purposely. So the family set up a camera, and they were able to watch this dude. He had a teal windbreaker, a wig, and sunglasses.
Just a lady enjoying a night on the town here in the cemetery.
And the officers were like, okay, I think we know who this dude is.
Hey, I do. Name's Leslie Jordan.
So when the officers visited Stroud's home on August 6th, they found a bloodstained towel in his 2018 Dodge Journey.
Oh, new car. It must be a lease.
Yeah, it must be a lease. And that was the probable cause. Stroud was arrested and charged with defacing objects of public respect, Class B felony. He was later released. Nobles told the police that Stroud and her grandfather shared a land boundary for several years.
It's very scary.
And apparently that's what they didn't like about each other. They were too close. And we know good fences make good neighbors. So apparently they just had a land dispute going on this whole damn time. But Stroud won.
I mean, he lived. That's just what I'm saying. You lived, buddy. You won the fight. If your neighbor dies before you, you win. I know you want to leave dead animals out there, but you know what you could do? You could even make a big fuck you shrine in your own house. You don't have to go to the cemetery. You could go and you could just fucking tell him to go fuck yourself within your own property.
Well, according to the daughter, Shannon, or the granddaughter, rather, Shannon said Joseph and Fred never got along with each other, and there was even a lawsuit between them where she thought Joseph had lost. So Joe is probably still pissed about this lawsuit, and he found a way to get his revenge, and that involved dead animals on Fred McKinney's grave. And I think that he got back at him. I don't still know why he dressed as a woman, though.
Oh,
we just don't know.
That could just be his role. That's just what he does in life. Know. He just might enjoy himself.
I have no problem with that. I think that that's great.
I only do naughty things when I'm Leslie. The rest of my life, I've lived by the code of law forced to me by this government. But Leslie flies free.
You all need to have a second personality, don't you? Just
don't
have
say
a little
this.
Fun.
No, because you know who else had one?
Oh, Jodi Arias.
And Ted Bundy. And John Wayne Gacy. And Jeffrey Dahmer. They all had their... Because that's the thing. It becomes too compartmentalized. That's when you don't know what other Kissel's doing, that's when there's a problem.
There is that movie, The Two Mr. Kissels. And I believe John Stamos is in it.
What?
Yeah, it's about these two guys who, I think they were brothers who got killed in
Mr. Kissel, it's called?
The Two Mr. Kissels. You don't know this?
What?
Yeah, there's a movie called The Two Mr. Kissels. I really don't know much about the story. I believe John Stamos is in it.
Let me see what comes up when I do this.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's a very famous Lifetime movie.
Rich brothers Robert and Andrew Kissel.
I think that they
seem to have everything. Beautiful wives who love them. Nope. Great jobs in a huge house. Technically, you are doing fine. But beneath the surface lies resentments and secrets that will eventually be their horrible undoing. This is 2008. How have I not heard of The Two Mr. Kissels?
I don't know.
It's made for television.
Yes, it was a Lifetime movie.
Didn't have enough to get to the distribution for a big full release.
No,
it might be the name of the film. Oh, it's a Lifetime film.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Lifetime movie.
What have you done?
I've made us money, Haley.
Money? That's it?
Yes. And to make money, you have to gamble. And to gamble, you have to take risks.
You've turned us
and
into
risk
pariahs.
And risks require nerves
for
and guts.
Money.
But you wouldn't know anything about that, Haley, because you have
for
no
your
guts.
Family, Andrew. These are your children.
Now, wow, who would you truly, if you were going to have someone play it like the life of Ben Kissel, the no towel story. Ben Kissel's no towels,
no
problems.
I have too many towels.
Good.
I don't even know what to do with them.
But the kitchen floor is mysteriously wet.
Well, it doesn't. Yes, it is. Okay.
Who would play? Like, Ben Kissel, the no towels, no problem story. Who plays Ben Kissel truly? Who do you cast?
I mean, I don't even know if it would
Dolph
be.
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph is too old.
I mean, but he'd represent your spirit.
Yeah, I do love. He's a genius, you know.
I heard.
Yeah, he's like actually a mathematician.
You know who I always, for some reason, the only one that always pops up is Asia Carrera as a member of Mensa.
No kidding.
Do you remember her?
Yeah, from Wayne's World. Wasn't she in Wayne's World?
That's Tia Carrera.
Who's Asia Carrera?
Asia Carrera was the pornography actress from the 90s, early 2000s.
No kidding.
She's very attractive. But she was a part of Mensa. But actually, maybe Tia Carrera was also a member of Mensa?
I honestly think, no, I don't want to be... They're very smart. I'll just leave it at that.
The two women are very smart.
Yeah, they're very smart. I mean, I can't even imagine them at a Mensa meeting, just the amount of boners in the khaki pants as they walk by.
And they never probably went to an in-person meeting. No. I think a lot of their stuff was done in writing.
Yeah, I think so. But no, I don't know who I would have play me, but, you know, maybe.
Who's that big Czech guy from the fucking, from basketball?
From the Dallas Mavericks?
Yeah.
You want that guy to play me?
What's his name?
He looks like Tiny from House of a Thousand Corpses. I don't know his name.
The guy Billy Crystal purchased in My Giant.
Oh, you're talking about George Mirasan, the guy who played for the Washington Bullets at the time.
That guy.
You want him to play me? I believe he is also dead. He might be dead. I don't know,
who
actually.
Who would play me in Henry Zebrowski All-Star Always?
Just a potato.
I don't know. Piece of shit.
I have no idea.
Think about casting me.
Cast me. Oh, my God.
Besides just me.
Okay.
Because maybe I could play a younger version of me.
I think that you probably could. I don't know enough about the talent out there because I haven't been scouting soft body improvers.
You watch movies. All you do is watch movies. It's not just soft body improvers. It could also be, you know who could maybe play me back in the day? Dennis Franz. Is that bad?
Oh, Dennis Franz. I have seen that man's butt so much.
We have the same body.
It's very interesting. That was, of course, NYPD Blue, for those that weren't of a certain generation. The show pushed boundaries by showing people piss in public.
It was the worst butts on television history.
I still don't know why it happened.
I don't know why we needed to see Dennis Franz's butt. I don't know why we needed to see David Caruso's butt.
Well, David Caruso was much more attractive than Dennis Franz.
David Caruso could play me.
Yes, sure. Yes, David Caruso. I love that. In a soft core porn
of my life?
Of your life.
That would be incredible.
Yes,
just
it
me,
would be.
Just him discovering the fountain, but he's a real chaos magician. Like, he's an actual magician. He turns the fountain into an actual hot tub, and there's, like, all these chicks and dudes all over it.
Now it's getting pretty hot in here. Well, speaking of magic, did you hear this story from a Swiss town? Did you hear it? Did you hear this story from a Swiss town?
Is this code?
Is this I have to go to the bathroom code?
Are you a fucking CIA operative?
No. Chocolate snow falls in Swiss town after ventilation defect at the Lindt chocolate factory. Isn't that cute? This is not a crime story. It's just simply a sweet story. This is just a sweet story. Residents of a Swiss town got a bit of a shock when it started snowing particles of fine cocoa powder after the ventilation system in a chocolate factory malfunctioned. The Lindt and Sprunguli company, interestingly enough, confirmed local reports, and everything was lined with cocoa nibs.
I love cocoa nibs.
Yeah, they call them cocoa nibs, which is cute. The nibs, fragments of fresh crushed cocoa bean, are the basis of chocolate. Combined with strong winds on Friday morning, the powder spread around the immediate vicinity of the factory, leaving a fine cocoa dusting. Isn't that fun?
Honestly, it is nice.
Yeah,
nothing like making my neighbor more delicious.
The company says one car was lightly coated, and it has offered to pay for any cleaning needed. But it hasn't been taken up on the offer.
Yeah, I will be doing all of the cleaning with my own personal brush. Mm-hmm. It is meeting.
Well, the ventilation system, unfortunately, has been fixed, so.
Yeah, man, they should be giving free chocolate all the ass time. Now, now the free chocolate ends because your malfunction's over? But guess what, fella boy, Mr. Swede, I was getting fucking free ass chocolate from the sky earlier today.
You know, chocolate cocoa isn't very good, though.
It is.
No, it's very powdery. You can't, you gotta get wet.
I don't mind a bitter.
I don't like it. I think America has ruined my taste of good chocolate, though. Sometimes you get the, like, 99% cacao.
Mm-hmm.
It just tastes like shit.
But what it's nice is, though, it's a superfood.
Is it?
No.
Is it?
Superfoods are made up. I'm pretty certain.
Boy, Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around, it's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is three times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of chai, and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God, I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage, it's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
But you know what I want? You know what animals must have been all over those graves? Someone sent me this thing about, because we were talking about how chihuahuas are were like bred for food and to be sacrificed for so long.
Oh, by the way, apparently Jerry is a chihuahua. Oh, I forgot again.
Dachshund.
Dachshund. Yes, chihuahua dachshund.
Yeah, he's a dachshund. Yeah, he's got a long body. But there's this type of thing that they found. There's only one example of it. It's a little thing. It's a Whiskey the Turn Spit dog. And what it is, it's this tiny little dog that was bred to just turn the spits for meats. And they're like so, so tiny. And they're so cute. And this one kind of looks like Wendy.
Yes, I see it. It's super cute. But why did it become extinct? We still turn the meat. We still need a spit dog. Why would they become defunct? Do they just start eating them? I mean, we talked about chihuahuas being quite good snack food, apparently, for many, many years.
Just raped out of existence.
Really?
I That's don't horrible. Know. I
it's very sad to do that to a spit dog.
I mean, they're like little fleshlights.
Yeah, I suppose
Look at this
so.
Cutie little patootie, though.
This is dog talk. This is our dog corner.
This is Cutie Patootie.
We got
it. That's it.
That's it. Well,
that's the only way I want to bring up. I was like looking up these turn spit dogs, and they're so damn
cute.
How
did you even find a turn spit dog? I don't even want to know what you were searching.
It was sent to me in an email. It's a short, okay, here we go. It's a short leg, long body dog bred to run on a wheel called a turn spit or a dog wheel. To turn meat. Oh, the type's now extinct.
Oh, I don't get how it went extinct.
It's a kitchen dog.
Whoa. It's a cute ass dog.
Let me see why.
What's weird is you never think about dogs going extinct, but I guess they still can.
It, according to Delabra Blaine, a 19th century veterinarian. Oh my God, God knows what they did.
Oh my God, 19th century veterinarian. Holy hell.
Turnspit dogs were described as long bodied, crooked legged, and ugly dogs with a suspicious, unhappy look about them.
I love them. Can we get them back like they did in Jurassic Park? Or is there is there like a little embryo in some amber or something somewhere?
Oh, the dogs were also taken to church to serve as foot warmers.
People just used to use live animals. We talked about the chihuahuas as like water bottle coolers, like water coolers for your tummy if you're having your period or whatever.
You have to do them in pairs.
It's just
because it's too much
wear
for one.
You can't wear them like shoes. Oh my goodness. Well, anyway, I think it's time for Hero of the Week. This week's Hero of the Week, speaking of America. Ooh, bald eagles. We love them, don't we? This is
cool. I'm fine with them.
I
but
love
they're scavengers.
Eagles. They're scary as shit. A bald eagle attacked a state drone. The drone was worth $950. This was in the UP in Michigan. In what state officials describe in a tongue-in-cheek brazen attack, a bald eagle recently snatched a $950 drone belonging to the state of Michigan that was being flown to document shoreline erosion damage and, of course, monitor the damn citizens of the society. After a brief tussle, the bird ripped it off one of the propellers from the small spinning aircraft and then sent it to the bottom of the lake. And state workers are like, oh no, can't do that. This happened on July 21st, which is the day of my birthday.
Oh.
And I'm gonna name this bald eagle Buzzy.
Oh, Buzzy.
Buzzy the bald eagle. You are doing what all of us want to do when we see a drone up in the sky, tear it down and throw it into the bottom of an ocean.
America. Oh,
there it
America.
Is. Apparently, the attack could have been a territorial squabble with the electronic foe.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know what it was. And so you mean to tell me it did like a preemptive attack? Like it was super, super aggressive and it just attacked a drone?
Yeah, because it's an American hero.
Yep.
That's what we do. Or maybe the eagle was just hungry, but then it found out that he can't eat the robot.
And that's
not
a shame.
Yet, anyway. And ironically, the name of the drone is Eagle, E-G-L-E. It's a quality analyst and drone pilot, Hunter King, and it was on its fourth mapping run of the day. And I'm just telling you this much, when you go into the eagle territory, get ready to get eagled because Buzzy ain't messing around and eagles will fuck you up. They are not like super nice.
No, they are not nice.
The pilot said the drone was about 7 minutes into its mapping flight when it noticed its satellite reception was getting weak. He pressed the quote, go home recall button. The drone dutifully turned around, reacquiring a strong satellite feed. The agency then said King was watching his video screen as the drone beelined for home, but suddenly it began twirling furiously. When he looked up, the drone was gone and the eagle was flying away. A nearby couple later confirmed they saw the eagle strike something, but were surprised to learn it was a drone. Both King and the couple said the eagle appeared uninjured as it flew from the scene of the crime. I don't think we need to call it a crime.
I don't know if it's necessarily a crime.
Nonetheless, I love this eagle. Good for you. Take these drones down. Because God knows they're spying on our kids. You know that story about the dude who shot the drone down after he was monitoring his children bathing in the backyard. Remember that story?
Nope.
It was his neighbor's drone. He shot it down with a shotgun. The guy who shot it down got in trouble for vandalism. But the other guy had the drone monitoring his 14-year-old daughter sunbathing in the backyard.
I don't think the drone's the problem. I think it's the neighbor trying to look at the other daughter, like, just bait.
You have to shoot the drone down, though. I'm so pro shooting drones down.
Oh, no. I think that it's interesting, but I think that it should be drone versus drone. I think that everyone should be allowed to have these military-grade drones.
I am just surprised, and this is satire, but I'm just amazed that we don't have a small drone army. If we can just get everyone out there that's angry.
I think everybody should have a military drone. Every family.
Then we can target certain places in this country that might house people that are destroying us.
Wow. Very, very troubling. Very troubling. It's going to ruin everything. But now, let's read some viewer mails. First of all, I want to say thank you to all the responses from various people about how spermies are all different.
Yes, thank you. I always love reading emails about sperm. Apparently, I was correct.
You were vaguely
about
correct.
About one thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's true. If you do come once, you get all new sperms, and it just kind of random how it gets in there.
So it really is a crapshoot on which one is going to make it to the egg, and my God, you just better pray it's the right one.
You better pray. But here's the story. We're gonna beep the name of this man out, but I am going to say it.
Okay.
This is a story about a Bigfoot hunter.
Okay.
That a listener spent some time with in an afternoon with his father. My father and I never had a fantastic relationship, but we would often try to bridge the ever-increasing gap between us with our mutual interest in the paranormal.
Okay.
One day, my father stumbled upon a YouTube documentary that took place a few miles from his hunting camp. In the documentary, a group of ghost-hunting teens cross paths with a middle-aged Sasquatch hunter in the wild. Antics of all shapes and sizes ensue. The Bigfoot hunter was such a character that he actually became the subject of the ghost-hunting teens documentary. Hmm. Needless to say, my father was so enamored with the idea of this man that he hired him to take us out Bigfoot hunting with loaded shotguns, two of which were ours, and a Bigfoot battle suit.
What the hell is a Bigfoot battle suit?
We met him at a secluded gas station, more befitting of a Tobe Hooper movie. What I noticed about him right out of the gate was that he was completely and utterly full of shit. The first thing out of his face
Hold
was
on a
lie.
Second. No way.
No. As I rode in his car, a dangerous choice, I know, he proceeded to tell me that the first time he saw Bigfoot was in Vietnam, while he was separated from his platoon. I knew that something stank immediately, and it wasn't the Squatch Musk. Nam, I thought to myself. My dad was born in 69, and you are at least 10 years younger than him. I just nodded in response, sucked in my breath, and braced himself for a shitstorm to come. He might have just been on vacation in Vietnam.
He could have been. Yeah, you can do that.
Now, according to him, he's never went into the woods unarmed. He had his own shotgun, complete with his name, phone number, address, and quote-unquote Bigfoot Hunter logo affixed to the stock with his own personal sticker. I am still amazed he was able to pull all that out on a limited space.
Yeah.
I always keep an extra shot on me, he said, waving a yellow shotgun around in front of my brother and I, just in case I need to end my own life.
Whoa!
Don't want to get mauled by a bear or worse. You want to see my battle suit? The battle suit was a veritable hodgepodge consisting of a bright red 60s football helmet, a pair of hockey gloves, a heavy plastic motocross chest plate, a pair of carpenter's knee pads, soccer shin pads, and a dejected set of skateboard elbow pads. There's no way a Bigfoot's gonna get through that, he shouted a little too loudly as he strapped me into the last of the suit. I stared at my father, my face saying, please can we go home? This man is going to kill us. He stared back, his face saying, you always say that. Give him a chance.
It
could be fun.
Yes.
That's when he almost blew his head off. He had a very bad habit of slamming his shotgun down on his shoulder before we set off on a trek. Moments after he had stuck me into his super suit, he wandered off a few feet right behind me, grabbed his gun, and did his little shoulder slam, forgetting the safety was off.
Ah.
The explosion tore through the woods, decimating the tranquility, sending my father, brother, and I all whipping around simultaneously to see him, finger in his ear, trying to jam some auditory sense back into his head. Wow, he shouted. That was really loud. I stared at my father, unblinking, dead in the face. I took off the battle piece. He took off the battle suit piece by piece back at the Ponderosa buffet. My father couldn't look me in the eye.
How'd they get to Ponderosa?
They left.
They just left and went to Ponderosa? Left.
Yep. After his mashed potatoes, the unspoken rift between us growing that much wider. This is very, very funny, but that was the last time. They don't know, but this dude's still out there doing Bigfoot hunting.
Well, good for him. Be safer with the gun, please, Lord.
Yes, please be safer with the gun.
My goodness gracious. I do think that most Bigfoot excursions end with Ponderosa, and I think that's a perfect way to do it.
Absolutely.
I love Ponderosa.
I also used to love myself a hometown buffet back in the day and a Golden Corral.
Well, the Golden Corral, you know, I was there recently. Well, I was there about 3 years ago. It holds up. It's still there.
That's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it.
And this is something I want to read that got sent to us that came from a tweet from Dr. Bob Nicholson, which is a Digivictorian on Twitter. And he posted this. It's an article from the 1800s. Now, according to his tweet, I've stumbled upon a lot of bizarre things when researching 19th century newspapers, but few stories that are wilder than this. This is the story.
Okay.
Kicking an ear off in a ballroom. A Wisconsin cancanist who slings a vigorous limb. A dance was recently given at Johnson's Creek, a village 8 miles south of Waterton, Wisconsin, which was attended by scores of buxom lassies and stalwart lads from the surrounding country. It was a grand affair. Beer, bologna, and schmear case were plenty.
Oh, that is a Wisconsin dance party.
The girls were smiling and kitney and hoop-dee-doo-doo. The boys felt their oats, and everybody was having a royal good time. Jacob G. got Peter B.'s sweetheart up in a corner and commenced whispering to her. She giggled and squealed. Peter was jealous. An elegant roll was the result. Everybody sailed in and kicked shins, that being the custom of the country in a muss. Many of the young ladies, however, were more ambitious and landed their generous hooves in the bowels or chops of their antagonists. The display of snowy embroideries and well-filled red stockings was gorgeous, and lots of the boys have been cross-eyed ever since. What? During the melee, Jacob got his ear kicked off. Fact. He had Peter arrested, and as the latter had slewed his number 12 brogans around among the crowd pretty liberally, he thought it was quite probable that he was the guilty party, and he therefore took out his wallet and settled for the ear. Now come some of the boys that say that one Katrina Von S., 16, is the hairpin who did the damage, inasmuch as the records show that the fair Katrina has a leg on her like a millpost and can kick her father's bulky mules into a total wreck in 30 seconds by the clock. The charge seemed well-founded, and she is a strawberry blonde of the most pronounced style and takes a back seat for no Muldoon, masculine, feminine, or neuter. The boys also say that she kicked 1 6-foot fellow in the snout with the vigor of a Colorado Bronco. The case against Katrina for ear amputation seems pretty well established.
Oh, man, journalism sucks now.
Yeah.
That was classic. What a wonderful bash that must have been. Bologna, beer, and
schmear
just
case.
A schmear and a bunch of people kicking each other in the nuts. Getting your ear kicked off. My
That's
God.
Hard.
Oh, that is hard.
They had harder shoes back then.
I think that they did, yes. They must have. A lot of farming, a lot of agriculture work. You got to have the hard boots.
You got to have the hard boots. This is a bit of an announcement. Next week, both Side Stories and Last Podcast on the Left are going on vacation.
I need a vacation for my vacation.
We are not going to have one of those.
No.
We're just going to have a vacation from work. But there's going to be no new episode of Side Stories or Last Podcast on the Week next week. I know that you may moan. You might be even doing a bit of a groaning. But I do believe you will like how relaxed we will be when we come back.
Oh,
afterwards.
You know how people love it when we're
especially,
not stressed.
Yeah, when we're leaving to just we're doing family things.
Of course.
That'll be fun.
We will, Travis Morgenstern, I will still be doing Top Hat. We'll still have Kind of Fun, the wrestling show, and we'll still be doing the LPN show. So don't think work won't be happening. Still coming here from the West Coast studio.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Side Stories. We hope you're hanging in there, doing the best you possibly can in these strange, wild times.
Live every day like you know that that's not the water tube. Right.
You know that's not the water tube. Do not go down that tube.
I know you want to go down that tube, but just live and know. Double check your tube. Make sure it's got an out.
Yes.
Throw a sandal down there. I think that's really important. Throw a sandal, throw a boot down the tube, make sure it comes out, see where it comes out, then have your fun. Make sure the water's on. That's very, very important.
Yes, indeed.
You got to live. You got to laugh.
You do.
Laugh like you are a man that is just covered in soccer merch. Surrounded by mustard. Just
he must
loving
have been.
Life, man.
Oh, man.
That first week must have been one of the funnest times of his life.
I'm jealous. I'm actually jealous of this homeless man.
So much freedom, so much fun, all that booze. Oh, man, so much fun. Wow. And you gotta just live.
You do.
Laugh. You gotta love.
You do. You forgot it. You forgot one of the largest cliches in human history.
That we've taken.
Yeah.
For no reason. We didn't have to take it.
No,
but now
we're
stuck with it.
No, yeah, you did this. Yeah.
Yep. And now love that I do this every episode.
That's your cop out for the love this week?
It literally is a demand that you love this part of the show.
Wonderful.
And if you don't, then unfortunately, it cannot be changed.
Well, we love all of you. You can check us out on, of course, you know, again, Top Hat, Kind of Fun, LPN Show, Last Podcast. You know all the shows here. Keep on supporting all the shows. Also, we got the merch. We have to mention
Last Podcast Merch.com.
Okay, so there you go, Ken. Now Ken won't yell at me.
Ken, are you happy now, Ken?
Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Also, I guess you can check out our Spotify. We got some music. They asked us, I don't know why they wanted our musical taste.
They want to know more about us. The listeners want to know more about us and what we do, and they're going to hear the 5 songs I listen to.
They just, you know, if you're looking for something that straight 39-year-old white males listen to, then you will find it on my playlist.
It's a mix.
It's a mix. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magus delations.
Hail me.
Indeed. Every day. Every day.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch body plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.